Welcome, welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paul LaVie here, sharing with you today just a fun, inspiring woman. I have with me today Cheryl Lynn Sherman. She is someone who enjoys nature, the ocean, family, friends, animal friends, and discovering new ideas. She is the author of a series of novels titled The Ocean Depths Series. I'm so excited to get more information about these novels. They sound so fun. Cheryl, welcome to the show. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this series and what it's about.
Yes, I started having dreams about a merman, Triton, and it was odd to me, and I thought, man, I'd like to do a watercolor of him. So I contacted a friend who did was the model in life drawing classes at a college, and he had a bunch of the photos that had been taken during those classes, and he sent them to me, and I used his photos to help me have the shape, and I started doing these watercolors. As for me, I've always loved language. I've always loved learning, and nature is one of those things that I can't live without. I love going to the ocean. I'm heartbroken when I learn about pollution in different places and, sonar being used on the sea mammals.
Yes.
That kind of thing just is rather gut-wrenching because the planet is our home. And if you take care of your home, you'll be healthy and your home will be a good place to be. But if you destroy it, where are you going to live? So basically, the Ocean Depth series is all about these gods and goddesses that are the mythological gods and goddesses that we all learned about in third and fourth grade and in junior high. And I've given them homes on the San Diego coast and deep within the ocean. And there are some islands, Pitcairn Island, Tahitian Islands, that chain right there, that I'm using in the series. And these gods and goddesses are protecting our planet. And they continually work at lessening the abuse that mankind is doing to the planet so that all of us have our chance to live here and learn and find our bliss, become enlightened, and then move on.
I love that. I love that. And I know one of your favorite sayings is find your bliss. I absolutely love that, Cher.
What I enjoyed about that particular little tiny sentence is that it encompasses a different thing for every person that hears it. And to a mathematician, it might be having that huge chalkboard in their family room where they can figure out the most complex mathematical data and put it on that chalkboard. For another person, it might be going out and riding their horse out in a forest and enjoying being in the woods and the smells, the sounds of the birds. For another person, it might be owning a restaurant
Yes.
and serving people, and seeing them smile when they eat a delicious meal.
Yes. Yes. And
Gosh. Go ahead.
I love that because finding our bliss can be a different thing for a different person. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. And I think as we mature as human beings, we begin to find out who we are. When we're young, we're striving to find ourselves. Now, some people are born knowing what they're going to do and going to be, and not me. There were so many things I loved. I couldn't nail anything down for a long time. I was good at music, I was good at art, I was good at writing. I was good at being a mother raising my children. I was good at nature and training horses and planting gardens. And there was so much I could do that I didn't quite find out who I was, and it took a lifetime until I finally realized I don't have all these distractions anymore. I can concentrate on one of these things that I really loved to do when I was younger but didn't have the time, and that's writing. So when I found this idea of Triton in my head, and I watercolored, and I started writing the story, Ocean Depths of Darkness. That title just came to me. It fit. It felt right. And I realized it was going to be a story about saving the planet. Now, that sounds, oh, everybody writes those kind of stories. But this has a different twist because the gods and goddess names that I've used, I've put now are characters that are in-depth. They interact with one another. There's conflict among themselves. They're, as they're trying to help humanity and each other. And it's becoming such a world of its own with so many plots and subplots and twists and turns. My son said, and I thought it was funny, he said, Mom, this is kind of like The Hobbit and Harry Potter and Game of Thrones all thrown together.
I love
it. And I'm like, gosh, how do you say it's so cool? And he actually likes the book. And I wrote it for females, not for males. So it surprises me when men like it.
Yes. Yes. So were you thinking when you wrote it, this book would draw more women to it than males? Or were you purposely looking for more females to read it?
Yes. I wrote it for females. It's a dramatic love story. It's an adventure full of conflict. But the love story is primary because it's between the hero and the heroine. And the heroine is Calista Ann Saunders. And she's a high school student, a senior. And her truck gets pushed over the cliff one rainy monsoonal March afternoon. She's going to get pizza. She's supposed to be picking up her twin brother, Tad. And... her truck rolls down the embankment, and Triton, the god, merman, shapeshifter, had a vision of her falling over this cliff, and he's down there waiting for her truck to land in the ocean, and then he works at saving her. And when they're in the ocean and he's saving her life, she gets pricked with stonefish venom, which is not in our Pacific coastal water, and DNA of Triton's half-brother, Proteus. Who is the bad guy? And he is called the old man of the sea as far as the mythological gods and goddesses. And he's always in conflict with Triton. He's very jealous. He's very opinionated. And he doesn't play well with others.
Oh, this sounds so fun.
Now, these gods and goddesses are timeless. They're immortal. So Triton will always be a 19-year-old merman, but he has lived through several lifetimes on several planets, and he remembers all these lifetimes. So these are not young beings, but they have a groove of where they like to present themselves. And Triton is always this 19-year-old shapeshifter where if he's on the street, walking down the street, he'll look like a young man. Now, he's done a lot of medical training, so as the years go by, sometimes he ages himself a little bit, and he can look different to every single person in a crowd, which is a really cool tool because some people will think he looks this way and some people think he looks that way, but it's always him at the core of that vision that they have, and they won't know it, but he will.
Yes, yes. So with this being a series, is it a continuance of what is happening with her and all of that?
Yeah.
Is it all on that basis?
Yes. Ocean Depths of Darkness is book one, and it's published. It won the Mom's Choice Award 2016. It won the Beverly Hills Finalist Award in March 2016, and at the London Book Fair April 2016, it was one of 8 favorite titles, and there's hundreds of thousands of books at that book fair. I was just like, wow, you're kidding me. So it's, I like writing a series that goes, it's like at the end of the book, book one, it's a cliffhanger. It abruptly ends at a very abrupt spot, and everybody's going, oh, no.
You can't do that.
That's right. And so it leads into book two, and book two is done. I'm just doing some final edits now. I should be having it to the publisher by October. I have three more watercolors to get done for it. And then book three, Ocean Death, A Life, is 100 pages in. So I only have about 500 or so more pages. And then I'll be doing about a year worth of editing because I like to edit over and over and get it exactly the way I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go on to book four through seven.
Oh, my gosh. Cheryl, I could so see this becoming a movie. You know, it sounds like it could be a really fantastic movie.
Well, we were thinking the 3D versions in Avatar, that kind of thing, where because you could have the merman and the mermaid be in the depths of the ocean, but they
yes.
will be actual actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're shapeshifters, they're on land, they can be the physical presence of the actors and actresses. And it's big, it's epic scenes where you've got Triton's house is an absolute frickin' castle just about on the San Diego coastline. And the ocean would, you know, King Poseidon, Triton's father, has this beautiful castle down in the depths of the ocean. And so you've got these scenes where it'll just be eye-popping. So I'm working on a screenplay right now, and that will probably be done in the next 6 months, I'm thinking. So we're working hard.
Oh, that is so exciting, Cheryl. I love it. I love it. This sounds so fun. We do have to pop out a moment for a break, but everyone, I will be right back with Cheryl Sherman. Thank you so much. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Paul Levie here with Cheryl Sherman. We are discussing her amazing novel series, Ocean Depths. And, oh, my gosh, they sound so fun. And we were just chatting about the fact that it would be an amazing movie. So, Cher, I would love for you to just jump back in telling us about these great novels. And I would like you to share, if you would please, with the listeners, how they can order these books.
Ocean Depths, A Darkness by C. L. Sherman, which is my pen name, is on barnesandnoble.com. It's on kobobooks.com, and that's kobobooks.com. It's on play.google.com also, and it's on Amazon. So if you put in the name Ocean Depths, A Darkness by C. L. Sherman at any of those websites, it'll come up.
I love it. I love it. Well, Cheryl, some more fun information about these novels. And I would also like you to touch on the point, the fact that you do the watercoloring. I love that. I think that makes it very unique.
My publisher was kind of, you know how you scratch your head and look at somebody like, what?
Yeah.
As I said, yes, these books are for 14 to 50-year-olds. And it's a long expanse of female audience that will enjoy them. And I want watercolors in them, the ones that inspired me to write the book
mm-hmm.
series. And they looked at me like I had two heads because nobody does that. And so they said, well, we can't put your watercolors in as a watercolor in the paperback. It's too expensive because it's different paper. So they put them in as black and white. Which is, they're there, they're pretty, but still, they're black and white. But in the e-version, they're all color. So they just pop in the color. You know, it's really nice. But for me, I needed those for my psyche to understand who my characters were. And that's how I first started writing the book, was by visualizing them and doing the watercolor.
Yes. Oh, that is so fun. That makes it so unique. I love it. I love that. And Cheryl, where did the idea come from? I believe you want to share there's a lesson in the book. What lesson do you want the audience to have with what happens in the book and the fun that you share?
Well, I've noticed a lot of our books and movies and television shows are they're getting away from the relationship of loving one another and the planet. They're very much about war, conflict, crime, bloodshed, and it's depressing. My husband will sit down and watch a movie, and they're well written, and the screenplays are great, and the action is superb, but the violence in them bothers me. I get up and walk away. I listen a little bit, and if sometimes I can't even listen, I got to go in another room and let that scene go, you know.
I
But
see.
I wanted a book that had conflict without being disturbing. I wanted it to be mainly a love story. I wanted it to show that people can love in adverse situations, that they can find enlightenment, and they can also find their bliss, which is my own thing for me. Finding my bliss has helped me to write this book series. And that's what I hope for my readers, that they can be freed from this earthly plane if they read my book, and they can start to think in their own heads, gosh, maybe I could find something in life that will make me really excited, really happy, that will make me want to get up in the morning and go do it. That's what writing has done for me. And I think a lot of our media these days is depressing. When you go away from a show, you're like, oh man, okay, let's think about something else. And
Yes,
I
or
don't want
you're
to make
even
it that way.
fearful, you know, oh, is this going to happen to me? Or you're right. That's what you can take away from a movie.
And I want people to go away. You know, when they get done with my book, the whole series, when they get done with the whole series, I want them to go, wow, that is so cool. And I want them to get lost in it. You know, when I was young, we went and stood in line forever and watched the Star Wars movies. And they were so cool. We'd never seen anything like them. It was amazing to us all. And it was so fun. The whole thing was fun. And I really enjoyed that. And it lifted me away from where I was. And I remember getting it. I had a Pinto station wagon. It was Pepsi Cola color. It is what we call the four banger. And you know, it was lucky if it did 65 on the freeway. And I got into that little car, it was brand new. And I got in that little car and I was driving down the highway and I thought, wow, they put those little reflectors on the highway. They've just been doing that new thing. And I'm like, wow, this looks like the takeoff launch pad for, you know, Star Wars. Oh, this is so cool. But you know, it lifted me out of my world and put me in another world with heroes and heroines and the bad guys didn't win. And I liked that.
Yes.
And that's my story is like that. The good guys are gonna win. There's a lot of conflict and a lot of trouble, but there's a lot of love, a lot of enlightenment, and they're gonna win. And every page has got lots of good conversation and emotional drama so that a female can get in the middle of that and cry and laugh and smile and enjoy themselves. Because that's what I'm trying to do is lift my audience away from their world, whatever it is, and get them to thoroughly enjoy themselves in the series.
Oh, Cheryl, you are so fun. Would you like to share a teaser with us of perhaps one little adventure that this romantic couple has in your series?
Well, you mean like read it from the book?
Or just a overall little, oh, well, this happens. It was really fun, or
Well, let's see.
yeah, I threw that out at you. Yeah.
It's a big book, and there's so much that I love it all. And you know, I've been working on it for several years and editing for several years, and I love it all. If I don't, I delete it and make sure I love whatever I replace it with.
Yes.
What I like about Callista and Triton is Callista has a lot of issues. In her young life, she's lost her father and her grandfather. And she's trying to cope with, if I love someone, will they die? She's lost a couple of friends and who passed on. And so she's kind of in this, I don't know, is it, you know, post-traumatic syndrome, something that's just inside her. And Triton has his own issues and problems that he's gone through, and he has the death of a dear immortal, a non-immortal. She was a mortal god. She hadn't been given her immortality yet. Her name was Nehelenia. She's also a goddess. That's a goddess name. And she died. And so he's been dealing with this pain. And so Calista is dealing with her pain. And they come together, and they're trying to have a relationship and get past these things that stop them from having a good time.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, they have all these things on their back, these weights of their own emotional drama and traumas, and they have a hard time relating to other people because of it. And I show in the book how they, through each scene, they discover things about each other, they discover things about themselves, and they learn to get past the hard things and start finding love and acceptance. And I think that's what I like about these two, because in the middle of all their conflict, they'll inch forward and find something good. They might fall back a little bit with some more drama and trauma, and then they inch forward into something else. So they're constantly growing and becoming able to love again. And I think that's what I like about this couple. It isn't just each scene. That's what the book is doing, and the next book is doing, and the next book is doing. Because it takes a long time for us to come out of things that we go through in life. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but
yes,
it has for me. And sometimes it takes years.
Yes, yes.
But there's always love. There's always love. And there's always a way to find your bliss. In the midst of the harshest reality, there's always a way to find love somewhere.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, I can't wait to read these novels. Oh my gosh, how fun. And oh my gosh, I would love to see this as a movie. It really feels to me, Cheryl, you have found your bliss as well in creating these beautiful novels.
Yes. Yes.
I love it. Well, with just a few more minutes to go, Cheryl, what last words would you like to share with the listeners today?
I think finding your bliss, my favorite thing, is the ultimate in anyone's life. And I know that we have jobs and children and parents and lives to live, and we don't always have time for ourselves, but ourselves, that's where our treasure is. Because if you find out who you are, you can do almost anything in life, and you can overcome anything. And I know life has hard times, but it also has good times. So I think finding our bliss is the ultimate in importance for each of us. And along that pathway, we become more enlightened. Because if you discover who you are, that's where your power is. Not who people say you are. Not who your teachers, parents, friends, or kids say you are. It's who you really are. That's what each person needs to find. And then they will find that internal happiness that is so elusive.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Beautiful, Cheryl. Beautiful words. I am just so grateful to have had you on the show today. And
thank you.
Share, oh, you're so welcome, the information on your beautiful writings. It's absolutely fantastic. And I think finding our own bliss, what a beautiful topic. I really appreciate that.
It's been fun, really fun.
Yes. We may have to do another show down the road. I think so.
Oh, well, we can talk about Ocean Depths of Time, the next book in the series.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, well, thank you so much, Cheryl. And a big thank you to our listeners out there in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you for joining us today. And I look forward to our next chat. Thank you, Cheryl. You have a great day.
Thank you, Paula V.
Thank you. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone. Hello, everyone. This is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Paula V here. Thank you for joining us on Why Am I So Happy? Today, I am very excited to share with you an amazing, amazing woman, Susie Hayes. Susie has over 40 years in private practice in Denver, Colorado. She is committed to helping people access internal resources they never knew they had, to create what they knew they could through psychotherapy, hypnosis, sex therapy, business, and life coaching. Oh my gosh, you do so much, Susie. And today we'll be talking a little bit about how to get what you really want with what you already have. Susie, I want to begin with just saying welcome, welcome. I'm so honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Paula. It is really a delight. I was really looking forward to this.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So was I. So excited. Let's begin. Please share what you mean with when you say, help people access internal resources they never knew they had, or to create what they never knew they could. What do you mean by that, Susie?
Well, I really focus with people in terms of understanding that we all have resources that we are very often not aware of. And so we do not realize really the capacity that we have to create in our life, to create our lives the way that we want it. And we all have this, it's like an internal treasure chest, our gifts, our talents, our skills, our creativity, from which we can draw what we need to create the life that we desire. So if we are not aware of those resources, then we're limited in terms of what we can create in our lives. So as I help people to access their internal resources that they never knew they had, they discover that they can create what they never knew they could.
Oh, that is huge.
And it's really, it is huge. It's really about self-discovery. And by that, Paula, I'm not just talking about reflecting on our lives or our experiences, but I'm talking about self-discovery of the true self, of the essential self, of what I call that aspect of our being, that divine spark. Some people refer to it as the soul. But as we really begin to connect with that and discover that, we recognize and appreciate the gifts and the resources, the wisdom that we have. And, you know, I often say that the longer that we've been around, the more mature we are, the more resources we have. And sometimes when people have gone through life and life has kind of beat us up, people get discouraged, or they become afraid, or they hold back, or they shut down, and they don't recognize that all of that life experience has brought to them resources that they didn't have before. So every day that we live, we have more resources inside than we had the day before.
Oh,
So the
Oh,
treasure chest keeps growing. Isn't that cool? It
yes.
totally, yeah. And that's the expansion of the soul as well. That's the expansion of our life experience.
Oh, so with your assisting others in their self-discovery, oh my gosh, Susie, that must open up such doors for them.
It does. It really brings a sense of both empowerment and freedom to really expand in their life and to be able to experience that with genuine joy and peace, which is really, I think, ultimately what we're all desiring. That's where we want to live our lives.
Yes. So, what would you say keeps people from accessing these resources?
I think there are several aspects of that, Paula. One is the lack of awareness. People simply don't know. They don't, you've heard people say, well, I didn't know that I could dance, or I never knew that I could draw, or I had no idea I could do mathematics. And so there's this, in this self-discovery, in this self-awareness, that's where we begin to really know what there is to access. And so sometimes if we don't know it's there, we can't access it. So part of it is lack of awareness. Another piece of it is that we don't really understand or appreciate how we are internally constructed. And no doubt many of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of that we have both a conscious and an unconscious experience in our mind. And that our conscious awareness is only about 2 to 3% of our awareness. For example, our conscious awareness right now, Paula, is that we know that we're sitting in a certain place in a room and we're having a conversation together, and we were talking earlier about the beautiful weather, and so that's all conscious awareness. But 97%, and that's a rough figure, of our experience is unconscious, out of our awareness. So if we're only relying on conscious awareness, which is where willpower is, which is important, but it's really limited, what we really need to be able to do is to work at that deeper unconscious level, particularly to resolve those conflicts that exist, where we appear that we're working against ourselves. So one is really to increase our awareness of our resources. The second is really to appreciate that internal structure and to learn how to do that more effectively. And then the third is really quite simple in that one of the emotional states that blocks us most frequently is fear, that we're just afraid. And we weren't born afraid, we learned to be afraid. And so as we work with those internal experiences, those emotional states, and sometimes it can be fear or shame or guilt, or fear of being shamed or fear of being seen as guilty. As we work with that, then we're able to really access those resources.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And that's a huge percentage. That estimate, 97%. That's almost mind-boggling to think there is that much that we can tap into.
Well, that's absolutely true. And part of the reason that it is unconscious is that if we had to think every time we breathed or our heart beat or we took a step, we wouldn't be able to function. So, our primary functioning has to be out of our awareness, so that we can focus in a certain way at the conscious level. And so what happens inside is that unconsciously we learn experientially certain beliefs and strategies that are stored at the unconscious level. And then we function sometimes quite automatically or unconsciously in response to those beliefs and those emotional states.
So would you say, Susie, with your training, you help others to make a change with what they store, and then they automatically bring forth into their lives and into their actions?
You know, that's an interesting way to put it. Yes, I think that yes, I think that's true. It's that, and again, I kind of consider it to be like a treasure chest. You know, it's this discovery inside of, oh my gosh, I had no idea that that was there. Whether it's a point of conflict or if it's a strength, whatever it is, that incredible adventure of discovery is really what helps us access and use those resources. And remembering that those resources are there purposely and intentionally. You know, we are wonderfully created to live our lives. And we've just forgotten how to do that. Life has kind of taught us how to not do it in some ways. And that can be through, you know, loss or trauma or failure or disappointment. Any of life's experiences can sometimes remove us from that awareness of who we really are.
Oh, it's just fascinating, Susie. It really is. It's just fascinating. With that, everyone, we are going to pop into a commercial, but we will be right back, so stay tuned. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Susie Hayes. If you're just joining us, Susie is an experienced psychotherapist and Denver life and business coach. She does amazing work for people everywhere. She's just a fantastic source of information. I'm enjoying her so much today. I would love to begin this segment, Susie, and ask you, how do you help people get beyond their blocks of how they block their success and their happiness? How do you get them, what tools do you use, and how do you get them beyond that?
There's really several parts of that. One is the protocols that I use, or the modalities, I guess, really that I use, which are the psychotherapy, the hypnosis, the sex therapy, life and business coaching. Those are kind of the tools in my toolbox. Psychotherapy is really counseling. I do individual and couples counseling. It's sometimes known as talk therapy. Hypnosis is really a way of going into a relaxed state where I can help people more effectively at an unconscious level. And then, of course, sex therapy is similar to psychotherapy, but it focuses primarily on sexual challenges and needs that people have. And then business and life coaching is really more about strategic planning and bringing life into balance. So I really use all of those different modalities to help people with wherever their needs are at. And in looking at that, I really want to identify, and this is a bit simplistic, but maybe not, I help them get out of their own way, because it really is our fear and our beliefs that are limiting. It's our experiences of unresolved trauma or grief or loss. It's our distortions about ourselves in terms of low self-esteem or self-deprecation. All of those things can be places where we hold ourselves back, meaning we do not allow ourselves to fully show up in our true essence. And so my work is really about using whatever those modalities, whatever those protocols with people to help them get connected with the true self, as we were talking earlier, to really help them get clear, to discover and gain clarity about their themselves, about their resources, their skills, their talents, their abilities, their strategies, their intuition, their wisdom, all of that that is inside. And then I work with them to explore where the inner conflict is. And most recently, I've been doing work with people with a system that's called IFS, which is Internal Family Systems. It's a theory that was developed by Richard Schwartz a few years back, where he began to work with people discovering in their way they were speaking that they talked about having different parts of themselves. And you know, Paula, in conversation, like if you're making a decision, you know, it's like, well, you know, part of me wants this, but another part of me wants that. And it's really true that our psychological structure, which, by the way, is different from our essential self, but is under the leadership of the true self, that the parts are developed and primarily at an unconscious level for the intention of our well-being. And if there is conflict among these parts, it causes us then for our internal energy to not flow as it needs to flow. So the work of resolving those inner conflicts is really important at working at that unconscious level, so that all of our parts, which are created with the intention of our own self-preservation, to work together under the leadership of the true self. When we resolve that inner conflict, then we are really able to move beyond the blocks. So I help people get clear with regard to the resources, and I really help them explore where those conflicts are.
Oh, I love that. Fantastic. And so would you say that making these changes, we can experience lasting change?
Yes, and this is really what's so key, Paula, to this kind of work, is that we have bought into a belief, and this is certainly a primary belief in our culture, but I think it also finds its roots in our predominantly European culture historically, that this whole belief that we just need to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. If we just have enough willpower, then we're going to be able to make change. And in fact, willpower is the least effective way to make change, because that's at the conscious level. So that's why people get up in the morning and they go, you know what, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to exercise every day. And about 4 days into it, it's kind of dropped off.
Yes.
Well, why is that? It's dropped off because there's some kind of part or parts that are functioning at an unconscious level that are functioning contrary to that. So we can consciously have an intention, but if unconsciously there is something inside of us, a belief or an experience of the self or a part of the self that is functioning contrary to that, inevitably that unconscious belief will dominate, because that's how our brains are structured. So, pardon me, so if we resolve the conflict at the unconscious level, then our energies are flowing all in the same direction, because we're not fighting against ourselves. So that then creates lasting change. Otherwise, we're caught into this experience of kind of white-knuckling our way to success, or ultimately having some success and then failing, and then often kind of turning on ourselves and blaming ourselves. And it's this whole thing of, well, I know what I should be doing. Why am I not doing it?
Yes.
Well, you're not doing it because there's a part of you that is designed to protect you and care for you in some way that is not allowing you to do that because of some unconscious intention. So as those unconscious conflicts are resolved, then we're no longer fighting against ourselves, and then the choices are at ease. So we then are making choices from our true self, our higher self. We're making choices out of love, no longer out of fear. Mm-hmm. And we're making those choices out of love, which then create the highest quality of our life.
Yes.
And there's no conflict. You know, it's the experience, the belief around discipline, you know, I should just be more disciplined, is really usually not very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's about working at that conscious level of willpower. But when we begin to really make our choices out of love, when we really are making the choices that are in our own best care, then our energy flows freely and we live in happiness. We live in peace. And that's not about living in perfection. We, you know, none of us are perfect. But it is really about living in the natural flow in which we were created to live.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that, Susie. I personally, you know, believe that, you know, when we're in that beautiful flow, connected to source, our higher self, and we make decisions with love and compassion, it just opens that connection for manifestation and happiness and joy. Oh, I just love that. We are down to just a few more minutes. Could you please share with the listeners your contact information, how they could reach you, and what last words would you like to share with us today?
Okay, thank you. I can be contacted. My phone number is 303-745-1816. Again, that's 303-745-1816. And I am in Denver, Colorado, and I have my private practice here. I also do phone consultation work, so that's an option for people. And my website is SusieHayesNow.com. SusieHayesNow.com. And it's titled that because I really help people discover lasting change now. So I guess I would say in closing, Paula, that I would want to encourage your listeners to not be discouraged if they are experiencing frustration or failure or blocks in their lives, and encourage them to know that all of the power of the universe stands with them in creating the highest quality of life. And that is really about learning how to live in the state of love, connected, as you said, to source, connected to that higher experience of divine love, and that is where every one of your listeners is intended to live.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, you are such an inspiration, and thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful information.
Thank you, Paula. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
A gift to everyone. I am just so honored to have you on the show. I just have absolutely loved this. And to our listeners out there, you can also read more about Susie on the show page. And a big thank you to all of our listeners out there. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone. A happy day. Susie, love, hugs, blessings to you.
Thank you, and same to you, Paula.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.